So we're on this never-ending search wheel that will never end unless you and I get in the place of God. This morning, if you are not in the place of God, you will be searching for peace for the rest of your life. But when you are in the place of God, no matter what the storms are around you, oh, there will be peace that surpasses all human understanding because you are in the place of God. Now, here's what always happens. Whatever you and I are longing for today is where we're searching for our peace. If I'm longing today for something apart from God, the reality, whether I like it or not, is that's where I'm searching for my peace. Peace apart from God is not peace. It's impossible. You can stuff every human addiction, every human want, every human longing into your heart, and if God does not rule your heart, you will never have genuine peace. Impossible. If you want peace today, get off the throne of your life and put God there where He needs to be.
And I want to welcome you to another broadcast of This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. As always, it's a joy to have you listening today, and we pray that you're going to be blessed, encouraged, and challenged by the teaching of God's Word. On today's program, we're going to be looking at what it means to have true biblical peace. All of us at some point in time are looking for something to dull the pain and fill the void, and we know that God has the answers for our suffering. And so I pray right now that you take your Bible, turn to 3 John chapter 1, verses 13 through 14, and let's see what God's Word has to say.
You will see that we are concluding our study in 3 John. We've made it from 1 John, 2 John, and now we're finally concluding 3 John. And it's been a great study as we've learned the truths of God's Word. Amen? Anytime we open God's Word and we study God's Word and we ask the Holy Spirit to speak into our hearts, we know that's been time well spent. That if we dig into His Word, that we can search the Scriptures and analyze the Scriptures and get deep in there to see what was said in that day, how we can apply it to our lives in this day to go forward, to make that difference, to leave that legacy that I pray that each one of us want to leave as we're here on this earth. Because the reality is, we all know, we are only here for a moment. Our time here on this earth is very brief compared to our time in eternity. We will spend eternity, according to God's Word, in either heaven or hell, and it will last forever. Now, there's no do-overs, there's no timeouts, there's no, hey, I want to try this again, and hey, I got it, I learned my lesson. No, there is one or the other, and literally our lives this morning are a blip on the radar compared to eternity. And so with that introduction, if you will, I want to ask a question that's going to really be in our text this morning, a very simple phrase, but one that I've asked myself this past week, and I've had to analyze it and to answer it honestly this past week, and I pray that you will answer it honestly this morning. And after you answer it here, we're going to ask it again at the end to see, after we look at God's Word, if God will give us what we're looking for in this department. And the question is simply, do you have peace? The question we want to look at this morning is, do you have peace? P-E-A-C-E. Do you have peace? It's interesting because you can take many words out of Scripture and you can ask a question of, do you have whatever the word is? And unfortunately, in our culture today, we've convoluted, we've twisted so many meanings of so many words that many times when we ask it, we got to really understand, what does the word really mean? I mean, really mean. You know, when I say peace, I'm not referring to, you know, save the whales or go hug a tree. I'm referring to deep biblical peace. Peace that's founded on the person and the work of Jesus Christ. When you put it in that context and you put it in that arena, it sheds a whole new light on what does peace mean? What is peace? And it certainly sheds much light onto the answer of the question, do you, do I have true biblical peace? I think one of the challenges that I face and that you face and every human that's ever been born faces is that somewhere along the way we think that peace is about us. When you look at God's Word, peace is not about us, peace is about God. Since peace is about God, we are the recipients of God's peace. But just like everything else that we've done in this life, we've made it about us. It's all selfish. It's all self-motivated. It's all about self and looking inwardly. And as you know and I know, we are the most narcissistic country that I believe has ever existed. Because everything revolves around us, when in reality, if we're going to have true biblical peace, it's got to start revolving around God's. You know, as I was processing this and praying through it, you know, God doesn't want us to just modify our behavior. You'll hear a term that's, you know how terms kind of come and go, just like clothing comes and goes, and then, you know, it becomes retro and it comes back in. Well, terms or phrases are the same thing. One of the buzz phrases now is behavior modification. It's like when you use it, you're cool. You know what I mean? You can say, hey, behavior modification, and boy, you feel great about yourself. It's real simple. Behavior modification, in the biblical sense, is simply doing this, adjusting behavior, but not dealing with the sin. And in order for you and I to have true biblical peace, we can no longer afford to just adjust our behavior. We got to start dealing with our sin. The issue is not a behavior problem. The issue is a sin problem. The issue is that we don't have peace because we're not getting what we want. The issue is we're not truly serving God and giving Him what He wants. And so we're in this trap, we're on this endless treadmill, and we're constantly trying to find how to get peace, how to get peace. When you look at the surveys, and you see the surveys from people, hey, what do you want in this life? It's not so much that they want the big house or the nice cars or the investments or the bank account. Those are all byproducts of what they really want. And what they really want is peace. They're searching for peace in materialism. They're searching for peace in addictions. They're searching for peace in relationships. They're searching for peace by bouncing around from this church to that church. They're searching and they're searching and they're searching. And the reality is they're searching everywhere but where they should be looking, and that's simply to God's. And so we're on this never-ending search wheel that will never end unless you and I get in the place of God. This morning, if you are not in the place of God, you will be searching for peace for the rest of your life. But when you are in the place of God, no matter what the storms are around you, oh, there will be peace that surpasses all human understanding because you are in the place of God's. And God will protect and He will provide, because we got to understand that behavior modification is not the issue. God wants us to become new, a new creation in Him, by Him, and through Him, through the person and the work of His Son, Jesus Christ. Here's what happens when that happens. The adulterous husband now becomes faithful. The bitter wife now becomes forgiving. The rebellious child now becomes obedient. The selfish, self-centered church now becomes community-focused, community-minded, and they begin to look outside the walls of the church and they go take their community for Jesus Christ. That's what happens when people search for the peace of God, not the peace of man. And there is a chasmic difference between the two. So let's look at our text here this morning as we conclude here in 3 John. And he writes there in 3 John 1, 13 through 14, in his farewell greeting, he says this, "I had many things to write, but I do not wish to write to you with pen and ink." Does anyone use a pen and ink to write a letter anymore? I'll tell you what, there's something about getting a letter in the mail these days, amen? It's kind of cool, isn't it? Email, Twitter, all the other deals going on. Well, you get something in the mail and you get really excited, don't you? There's something that is heartfelt. There's something genuine. There's something that took time for that person to pen that letter, to put that stamp on it and to send it in the mail. There is something, believe it or not, such loving and self-denying as in mailing a letter in our culture today. 14, he says this, "But I hope..." This is not the text or the connotation that he's hoping as in wishing, not, you know, fingers crossed. No, he hopes, he's longing. "I hope to see you shortly, and we shall speak face to face." Now here it is, it's a very simple phrase. "Peace to you." Our friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. Since we know that the human soul craves peace, what a great farewell to just simply say peace to you, John says. You may ask, though, well, what is peace? Well, according to the Bible, it's rather simple. You see the word peace in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. And many probably know what peace is in the Old Testament. In the Hebrew, it's shalom, correct? In the New Testament, it's a little different word. It's arane. But both have the same connotation. On the surface, they mean this: security, comfort. But when you look at the word and you drill down deeper, it's security and comfort that is based on a complete trust in God for His provision, through His sovereignty, that will bring about the best for you and give glory to Him. When you think through that word there, peace, security, comfort, a complete trust in God, you talk about something that is needed like never before in 2014. We need to start living and modeling lives that have true peace in God's. The world is looking at me. They're looking at you for how we react when we go through the difficult times. They're looking at me and you for how we react when we get the bad health report, when we lose the job, when we don't get what we want. They are looking at us. Oh, you Christian, I'm going to see how real you are. And they're watching, they're watching, they're watching. And I believe in so many cases, they see us behaving and reacting just like the world reacts. That we don't get what we want, that we don't get the plans we want, we lose that job, we get the bad health report, and oh, our worlds just cave in. We are shattered. And yet God says, "I will give you a peace if you just focused on me and completely trust in me, that will give you security, that will give you comfort, that will renew your mind." As Romans 12 says, what do? We renew our minds. How do we do that? We focus on God. Peace apart from God is not peace. It's impossible. You can stuff every human addiction, every human want, every human longing into your heart, and if God does not rule your heart, you will never have genuine peace. Impossible. But yet we crave peace. We crave peace. We know the answer on how to get peace. So why don't we get it? We don't get it because we are no longer the focus of true peace. I mean, you think through this word here, and you know, when you hear that definition, oftentimes we confuse peace with escaping our circumstances. I know I've been there. Well, if I could just get out of this situation, I would have peace. No, I wouldn't. When I get in the presence of God, I'll have peace. If you're single, boy, if I just find the right person, if I find the right husband or the right wife, I will have peace. No, you won't. When you get in the presence of God, you'll have peace. Well, if I just get the right job, I'm looking for the right job, I'm trying to climb the ladder, I know this is what I want to do, I'll have peace. No, you won't. When you get in the presence of God, you'll have peace. It's so simple, but yet so difficult in the flesh. Amen. Oftentimes we think, if I can just escape where I am, I will finally have that security and that comfort that I'm so desperately craving. God is saying, I got you just where I want you. Take your focus off you and start putting it on me. And what happens is an overwhelming peace begins to flood our soul. Did our circumstances change? Not a bit, but our focus changed. My focus is no longer on me. My focus is no longer on my circumstances. My focus is now on God. It's not that I need to get out of my circumstances to have peace. I need to get in the presence of God to achieve peace. Peace, P-E-A-C-E. Let me ask it another way. And think through this very in-depthly, if you would, for just a moment. But be honest with yourself. Remember, you're in church. Don't lie. What do you long for? Just think through that for just a minute. Think about what you long for. What do you crave? What is it that your heart meditates on many times throughout the day, that you are just looking for something, you are longing, you are craving? Think through that for just a moment. Now here's what always happens. Whatever you and I are longing for today is where we're searching for our peace. If I'm longing today for something apart from God, the reality, whether I like it or not, is that's where I'm searching for my peace. So let's take it the other avenue here. What happens if we start longing for God? Let's just flip this thing up on its head. What's going to happen in your life, in your family, in your marriage, with your children, at your church, if you today say, you know what, I'm going to start longing for God. I'm just going to long for God. I don't know what God's going to do with my circumstances, but I do know this. I'm going to long for Him in anything and everything. I'm going to long for Him in all aspects of my life. Imagine what's going to happen to your life. Imagine how you're going to change and I'm going to change and how God's church is going to change and how families are going to change. Imagine what's going to happen when we start longing for God. That we start craving Him and we get a holy awe and reverence for God. No more playing church, no more playing home, but we get really serious about God and we long for Him and we just want to be in His presence. No matter what we do, we get up and we go to the job that we hate and we say, you know what, I don't like this. I wish You'd change my circumstances, God, but you know what, there's going to be peace to me today. Not because of my circumstances, but I'm going to run into Your presence and I'm going to seek You and we're going to be intimate and we're going to commune together. We're going to fellowship to one another and You're going to use me today in the place I don't want to be for Your glory. You talk about a life that's going to be set aflame and on fire for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's a life worth living, amen? But what do? We're not where we want to be. And so instead of actually embracing the struggle, we waste opportunities every day because we're searching for peace apart from God. Do you see how critical this is? I mean, when you look at it, there's really two kinds of peace, which really doesn't make any sense, and I'll explain it here in just a moment. But you got one kind of peace that's from man. Well, the problem with the kind of peace from man, it really isn't peace. So we've only got one kind of peace. Because the peace that man has to offer always leads to further struggles and further misery. Always. Listen to what Richard Baxter says about this. Listen very closely. Richard Baxter. Self-seeking is self-destroying. And self-denial is the only way to our safety. Notice that word safety. Remember peace, shalom, and Aranahe? Remember this? Safety, comfort, security. No enemy could do so much against us as the best of us does against himself. Of all the enemies you have in the world, pray God to save you from yourselves. Escape from yourselves, and you shall escape all. Thus our safety, our peace, our comfort, our security consists in forsaking ourselves and cleaving to the Lord's. The more your happiness lies in your own hands, the greater is your danger. And the more it is in the hands of God, the greater is your safety, your peace, your comfort, your joy. Fly therefore from yourselves to God as you would fly out of a torn or sinking vessel into the strongest ship. Or as you would haste away from a tottering house that is ready to fall upon your heads, so haste away from self to God's. Richard Baxter. Do you see the deep biblical truths here? Peace is not found in us. Peace is found in the presence of God. Our way, our will, our desires is not found in the presence of God. His will, His way, His desires are found in His presence. So you really don't have two forms of peace, do you? You have God's peace. But there's a great struggle for that peace, isn't there? I mean, if we're honest, there's a great struggle today to have God's peace. It's interesting when you look at this and ask the question, well, how do we achieve the peace of God? Okay, well, we're listening this morning. We go, okay, the Holy Spirit has my attention. Yes, I'm not living in the peace of God. I'm living in the peace of myself. I can think right now of all the things I'm trying to accomplish. God's over in a closet somewhere. No wonder my life's a wreck. No wonder I'm always anxious. No wonder I'm always just on pins and needles about everything. Okay, I understand. You got my attention. How do we get there? Well, here it is. The ISBE says it this way, universal and permanent peace can only come as the Spirit rules in men's hearts, period. That's good, isn't it? I mean, if you want the peace of God today, the short answer is that the person and the work of the Holy Spirit, the triune God, needs to dominate and rule your heart. That's the short answer. You say, well, how do we get there? We want something a little more manageable, don't we? Because that's kind of a big thing. Some of us hear that word Holy Spirit. We get spooked off. Don't be spooked off. The Holy Spirit is what we need. He's our paraclete. He's our helper. He's our comforter. We need the Holy Spirit. I can't make it a day without the Holy Spirit, and I still screw things up. But yet, through God's forgiveness and grace, there is great, what? Forgetting and forgiving of our sin as far as the east is to the west. All that sin that was scarlet is now as white as wool. Oh, praise be to God. Amen. I don't know about you, but that's the greatest peace you'll ever have.
You are listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. All of these broadcasts are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, here at This Day Ministries, we greatly believe in the power of prayer. If you have a prayer request, you can send that request to prayer@thisdayministries.org. That's prayer@thisdayministries.org. Let's now go back to the second part of this message, and let's see what God's Word has to say.
Take your Bible and turn, if you would, to Isaiah 26:3. Isaiah 26:3, and I pray that this will give you great encouragement today as you... And maybe you're here today and maybe you do not have genuine biblical peace. Here, right here, is the formula from God's Word. I didn't make this up. It's right here in God's Word. Isaiah 26:3 shows us how to achieve biblical peace. How to have that peace that we so desperately crave. I mean, I think all of us would admit this morning that we're all longing for peace. The problem is we're longing for it in the wrong area. We're looking for peace in all the wrong places. We should write a song. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? looking for peace in all the wrong places. So many times we go to God last is almost kind of a, oh, well, we've tried everything else approach. Let's give God an approach. You know, let's give God a chance. I've heard some good things about him the 30, the 40, the 10 years that I've been in church. Hey, I might as well go ahead and check and see what he's doing, right? Well, here it is in God's Word, very simple, straightforward. Isaiah 26:3. I'll read it out loud as you follow along in your Bible. You, that's God, will keep him in perfect peace. That sounds good, amen? You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Capital Y, that's God, because he trusts in you. Capital Y. Pretty simple, isn't it? And this isn't real deep stuff. If you're looking for something real deep and real theological, sorry, you're not getting it right now. Here's the deal. It's real simple, though, because so many times we're looking for something so deep and so theological that we miss what God's trying to teach us right here in the simple. We almost outthink ourselves, don't we? You, God, will keep him in perfect peace. What does it mean to keep? Well, it's very simple. In the Hebrew, it means this: to literally secure. Do you see a commonality between the definition of peace and where this is going already? What was peace that we talked about? Security, comfort, complete trust in God. Isaiah 26:3, this is your answer to your peace problems. You may need a peace treaty this morning in your home. Here's the answer. Sign it. This is the greatest peace treaty that a man and a wife can start making between one another in the covenant of God right here. Keep, to be secure is what this says here, to watch over, to, and I love this part of the definition, to guard faithfully. Here's the reality. I will let you down. You will let me down. But God will never let any of us down. That doesn't mean we get what we want. That doesn't mean we achieve all the things that we want in this life. It does mean this, that God will never let us down. His promises are true. And because that's God's word, because that is truth, here he will keep, he will watch, he will guard, he will do this faithfully. Amen? I love the text there in the New Testament that even when we are faithless, God is still faithful. That's a hallelujah moment, amen? That when we sin, that when we stumble, when we fall, that when we're a new creation in Christ Jesus, that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Oh, even we are faithless, he is still faithful. God will keep him in perfect peace. Perfect peace. I love that phrase, by the way. Perfect peace. Don't you kind of love that? It kind of gives the illusion that there's some imperfect peace. There's a lot of imperfect peace in our world today. Imperfect peace, however, is not real peace, because perfect peace only comes from the perfect God of the Bible. That's how you get perfect peace, is that you get in tune, that you get in communion, that you get in fellowship with the perfect God of the Bible. Because this is what happens when we really begin to delight ourselves in the Lord. He will give us the desires of our heart, but here's the problem with that verse that so many warp and twist. When we're really delighting, when we're really longing for, when we're really craving God and his glory and his presence and that fellowship and that communion, our former desires no longer are now our desires, because now our real desires are what God desires for us. And he will give those all day long, amen? He will shower us all day long with his desires. You say, how do we know this? Because we know this because we're now a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has been stripped away. We no longer have the old man. Do we still sin? Unfortunately, we do. But we have a new man inside of us that longs to please God, no longer to please ourselves. It's really not complicated. It's really just a lordship issue. If you want peace today, get off the throne of your life and put God there where He needs to be. That will solve all your problems. You go, well, I also have heartache and pain. You will, actually. I'll tell you this, they actually may increase. But because now He's the Lord and you're no longer on the throne of your life, this is going to happen. He's going to get you through the difficult times. Why? Because you're leaning on your own strength like you used to do? No. You're now leaning on Him. And greater is He that's within us than He that's in the world. Since He's for us, who can be against us? Amen? Do you see how critical Isaiah is here? God will keep him in perfect peace, part two. Whose mind is stayed on you. Love that song that we sing, and it's from Psalm 51, but to create in me a new heart, O God, and to renew a right spirit within me, cast me not away from your presence, O Lord. Here, I love this phrase here, but restore unto me the joy of your salvation. And renew a right spirit within me. Do you see this? Do you see the focus of the joy of the salvation? Do you see the humility of the person singing, saying, restore to me. I can't do this. I can't rescue myself. I can't repair myself. I'm worthless. I'm filthy rags. You restore me the joy of your salvation. And create in me a new heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. What does this have to do with staying and focusing on God? Has everything to do. Whose mind is stayed on you. Maybe you're one of those like I am that your mind wanders from time to time. Maybe you drift. You're thinking of this thing and you're thinking of that thing and you know, you want this, or you want to go here, or let's do this, or let's do that. And we're constantly scatterbrained in our minds, aren't we? The world is inundated with so many ideas that we're being drawn here, and then we're being drawn over here, and just do this, and go do this. And we're doing all these things except staying on God's. God wants us just to focus on Him. What does that word mean, stay? Well, here it is, very simply. It means this, to rest on, to be focused on, to be supported by. I love that part. How do we get peace for you today that are looking for peace? Well, number one, we need to examine who's on the throne of our own lives. Are we in the context of Christianity, but the reality is we're trying to make a name for ourselves? Are we looking for the applause of man? Are we looking to be patted on the back and to be propped up? If these are our motivations, oh, you will never have peace. You'll be searching and searching and searching. Some of you are here today and you had a bad relationship with your dad, and I got great news for you today. You got a heavenly Father that loves you more than any human dad could ever love you. But what do? We live in this victim society, don't we? Where we blame everyone else for our problems. We're in the mess we're in, not because of our sin, but because someone else did something to us, right? I mean, are we disappointed? Are we heartbroken that we've gotten hurt in the past? Of course. But don't live in the past any longer. Start living in the future. Start living in the presence. Start living in God's presence. Don't use the past as a crutch. Well, this is the way I am. Really? Did you accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? I sure did. Oh, you're a new creation. Can't use that excuse anymore. But yet we just kind of mingle around and we flutter around and we got all these excuses ranging from this and that, and God's just waiting for us just to stay on Him. Because He will give us a peace that surpasses all human understanding. Praise be to God. Amen. Last part says this of Isaiah 26:3, because He trusts in you. So many times we're looking for peace inwardly. That's us. We look for peace inwardly towards ourselves. We then look for peace outwardly from other people. Now let's just pause here for just a moment. If you are on the inward-outward peace plan, the peace you have is very unsettling. Amen? Because when you look inwardly, if you truly see who's inward, you will see selfish unrighteousness all over the place. Amen? If you're looking outwardly, you're going to have expectations of others that they will never fulfill. And they're going to let you down all day long. But when you look upwards, that's when you'll have the peace that you so desperately need. Not inward, not self-help, don't dig down, not outward, don't rest on other people to solve your problems. Go into the presence of God as you go upward. Not inward, not outward, but upward. That's how you get peace. Because he trusts in you, that word trust means this, to have complete confidence and faith in. You say, well, God's really never done anything for me, so how can I trust him? Do you understand that the God of the Bible willingly, not under any compulsion, allowed his one and only Son to be bruised, beaten, and executed for you? What more could he do for you? We need to get out of this, God's not doing anything for me, and start hitting the deck, falling on our face, and saying, oh God, forgive me for my spirit here that's complaining and grumbling, and oh, thank you for what you did through the cross and the empty tomb. Because there's nothing greater than the cross and the empty tomb. There's nothing greater, no place that you will go to, no job, no car, no house, no retirement plan, nothing you can get on this earth will ever remotely match the greatness of Jesus being bruised, beaten, and executed for you. And so it's so much more a matter of our perspective, it's a matter of our thinking, that we just got to get our eyes off us and start turning our eyes on Jesus. Let me read this in context. Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Let me ask the question again, and don't answer out loud, but can I honestly say today that we have perfect biblical peace? And I guess the second question then would be, does that bother me or bother you if the answer is no? We all want peace. That cannot be denied. But are we willing to focus to stay on God when our plans are going another direction? Are we willing to trust in God when he's not giving us what we want? This is the pivotal linchpin of peace in God. Peace in God is simply us removing ourselves from the equation. And finally, for some of us today, we may be really smart in Bible, we just don't know God. I'm convinced there's going to be lots of Bible-knowing people that end up in a godless hell. And all that knowledge didn't get them anywhere because they never got to the point where they would take themselves off the throne of their lives. And they were so content and so bent on doing things their way, and at some point God's going to say, you made your bed, you sleep in it. And unfortunately we do this all under the guise of Christianity. And people all around us see our behavior that's exuded from a heart that's never dealing with the sin, and we are indirectly leading people down a path to a godless hell as we model a powerless, impotent God that can't do jack. And yet we do it almost with a smile because we're so in love with ourselves. It's very simple. Get off your throne and put God where He needs to belong. This is what's going to happen. You say, well, my spouse, what about them? You let God deal with them. Your problems in your home, your problems at your work, the problems at your church, the problems in your marriage aren't because of someone else. They're because of you. And if you finally get the guts to deal with the sin in your own life, watch how God starts changing the people that you live with. But we blame shift and we just say it's them, them, them. And the devil is so excited how he's reaping a wonderful harvest in America today. I mean, do you really want peace? If you want peace today, it's going to cost you dearly. It's going to cost you dearly. It's going to cost me dearly. Why is it going to cost us dearly? Because for those who want to truly follow Christ, we've got to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Him. There's got to be complete self-denial, complete submission. If you really want peace in your home today, it's going to cost you dearly. But oh, it's going to reap eternal, glorious consequences that will last for a glorious, heavenly eternity. Amen? Write these verses down here as we prepare to close. There's four key verses that you're going to need if you really want peace. John 14:27. Listen to God's word. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's God's word right there. That's awesome, isn't it? Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. That's a hallelujah moment right there. We got enough phony, baloney, counterfeit peace in our world today. And it's doing nothing but wreaking havoc in our lives. Well, we don't need to go buy the next thing to achieve peace. We need to buy into God. He's given it right here. Peace I leave with you. It's been left. It's for the taking. But we got to get off our throne and let Him get on His. Amen? John 16:33. Love this verse. This is a verse that has, in spite of my sin, in spite of my heartache, in spite of my pain that I've caused myself, my family, and other people, this is a verse that has comforted me over the years. John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you that in me, who's me do we know? Jesus. And when He says in me, that's not you, that's not me. Make sure we're clear on this, all right? In Jesus, you may have peace, safety, security, comfort. And then here it goes on, in this world, you will have troubles. You will have tribulation. Comma, but be of good cheer. I, Jesus, have overcome the world. Amen? I mean, these are hallelujah verses. When you are living in despair and heartache and pain, and you don't know how you're going to make it the next day, cling to John 16:33. In Jesus, you have peace. There's comfort. There's security. There's a Heavenly Father's love there. You're going to have trouble. You're going to have trials. You're going to have tribulation. Comma, but be of good cheer. Be joyful. Why? Because our peace is what we want it to be? No, because Jesus has overcome the worlds. Romans 5:1-5. These are verses that I just want to have implanted on my heart, and I pray would be implanted on yours. Romans 5:1-5. Great text. We talk about getting into deep doctrine. Now we're starting to get into some deep doctrine here. Here we go. Ready? Therefore, having been justified, made right before God is just a simple term that we could say for justified. We've been made right before God. We don't make ourselves right. He makes us right. Here it is. By faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Okay, time out. I don't like that part of the verse. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. When's the last time you've gloried in your suffering? Be honest. I mean, be honest. I mean, when's the last time that, you know, you got that bad health report, you lost the job, the marriage is falling apart, and you said, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. Some of us are going, Lord, I got enough character. Don't give me any more. Verse 5, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit who was given to us. That is awesome. That's in the Bible. I mean, that's God's word, that we've been made right with Him by what Jesus Christ did, that we might have safety and security, not from what this world offers, but simply through the blood and the atoning work of Jesus Christ. And lastly, Galatians 5, 22 through 23. Galatians 5, 22 through 23 says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, you guys catch that one? Long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now, when I read those, let me read them again here for just a moment. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If there was a scale of 1 to 10 in my life and your life on each one of those, how would we grade out? I mean, very convicting, isn't it? Because when you look at these things here, you look at love, and you look at joy, and look at peace, and long-suffering, and kindness, and goodness, and faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Here's what happens. We can seemingly get away with not practicing one of these things and seemingly bear no consequences. I mean, when's the last time that you weren't really kind to someone and you really bore a major consequence for that? This happens all day long in the Christian's life. We're unkind to people. We walk around like grumpy still skin. We look like our dog just died. Well, amen, that we've been justified by grace and God's good, He's on the throne, all this stuff. But we look like we just lost our best friend. Jesus died for you. No wonder a watching world doesn't want to come to church. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, self-control. These are fruits of the person who is a genuine believer. You go, well, I don't have any of these things. Well, I got bad news for you. You're not a genuine believer. We've learned to coexist in our culture with being half in for God and half in with the world. And somehow we think because we walked the aisle, God dunked, said the prayer, stood on our head, did a cartwheel, whatever they ask you to do, that we're going to heaven. The gospel is about taking us solely to God. And because we get to God, we get to Jesus. And we get to Jesus, we get atoned for the works and the sin of our flesh. And we get to go to heaven. Praise God. Amen. It's by grace alone, right? It's by faith alone. It's Scripture alone. It's glory to God alone. All the things of the Protestant reformers that they said about those solas, that's what it is. That's peace. And yet what happens is the devil hoodwinks all of us, me and you, into living this counterfeit, apathetic, indifferent life, never making one disciple, even though that's what Jesus told us to do, and somehow we think we're just gloriously going to heaven. Yikes. You talk about building a house on sinking sand. The American church is built on sinking sand. And it's high time that someone stands up, man or woman or both, and be courageous and get off your throne and put God where he belongs. The whole point of biblical peace is not that the storms of life will cease, but rather that we rest in God during the storms of life. Do you have true biblical peace today?
You have been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. All of these messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, if you've been blessed by the teaching of God's Word through this radio program, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at info@thisdayministries.org. That's info@thisdayministries.org. Or you can write us at This Day Ministries, P.O. Box 7267, Brandon, Florida, 33508. That's This Day Ministries, P.O. Box 7267, Brandon, Florida, 33508. Thanks again for tuning in today. Now let's all go out this day and let's go make a difference for Jesus the Christ.